Welcome. I am the mirror and the muse. This is my cover. It is a painting by Ami Spangler entitled The Watershed Angel. And it is in honor of a fire that raged through the Sangre de Cristo Mountains in northern New Mexico in 2022. My poet is Nicholas Michael Morrow. He lives in the Pacific Northwest, and I am the second book from Misty Mountain Publishing. The first, Misty Mountain Musings, was published in 2022. So let's let the journey begin. Hoist the anchor, lift the sails. The ocean of your imagination awaits us. Far from this shore we will sail, salt air in our face, with golden dawns and crimson sunsets, wind, rain, fire, and ice, tempered by blue skies and starry nights. I am the storyteller, capitan and confidant. I am the mirror and the muse. I have a poem, Will You Join Me?, that is on the back cover. If there is time at the end, Nicholas will read it. The title poem, The Mirror and the Muse. No one can own beauty or demand she go or stay, or qualify her wit and wisdom, her innate nature to dance and play. The master recognizes who she is, serves her pleasure with artistic deeds, breathes the sweet air of freedom throughout the spheres, through life and death, as a mother, lover, and friend. Is she not a warrior, like Mikhail and the heavenly host, in whose domain art lives and thrives, accompanying us on our journey where wisdom finds expression and science a voice and task? Beauty has a time to shine throughout epoch and incarnation, in human hearts and lucid minds, upon the earth, nature's garment, to inspire and heal our pain. All creatures sing her glory. All things bear her name. Poets plead, beg, and court her with ditties to lure her in, while she coyly smiles and sings. I am the source of wonder, the light that darkness woos, the answer to your question, the mirror and the muse. Process. I wake before dawn and brew a cup. Sit, muse, transcribe and edit. Then I walk, making my rounds along a path through field and garden. Good morning. How well you grow. Oh my, a flower. The fruit is ripe. I must harvest. Here, a salad, an evening meal. What ails you? Your leaves are yellow. A little compost and a worm or two. I sit on a bench in contemplation. Birds taking flight for their morning debut. What did they sup on waking? Was all well in the nest? I smile as they hop through the grass, then to the fountain for a morning bath with friends in a feathery rendezvous. The sun, veiled in wispy clouds, must also be sipping her daily brew, preparing to orchestrate the shadow dance and send me on my way to meet my destiny and its gifts, smiling and ready for another supercalifragilisticexpialidocious day. Creating spring. Spring comes for a day or two and retreats, unsure of the season, followed by frosty morns and rainy days, as if winter is not done or satisfied. While each day the light gets longer, the sweet earth growing warm and green as you and I clean, prune, and sing. Slowly, poetry shifts its inward gaze, and the voice within for days is silent, surveying the waking world without, mind in hand, listening to another master, elemental beings. Audacious and restless, birds singing, mating, and building nests. News arrives of madness and misery, of natural disasters, unrest and war, poverty, hunger, struggle, and abuse. And our lives and dreams seem petty while we wonder why we are so blessed. With family, friends, and a beautiful spring. What can we do to alleviate the pain? We know truth, beauty, and goodness as a human gift and a natural state, but the ideal does not match reality. Faith, trust, and hope, a fantasy for some, and love. An ogre with a pretty face. Who would believe us if we revealed that we are the ones creating spring? Fire and renewal poems. Resonant art is every cleansing an invitation, clearing a path to the light? Or does it appear as desperation, as inertia rending the veil? Brutal compassion behind the scenes, leaving us in shock and survival. With charred earth and ash remaining. Two gates open and bid us enter with courage that is not ours alone. The first leaving us stunned, grieving. The second nurturing all that remains. Other worlds with purpose emerge, imbuing the scene with hope, prayers answered, promising renewal. To the North Point, twice she treads, each gate acknowledged and consecrated, and along the ridge where fire raged are tall, charred trees like standing stones. Channeling light into the parched earth. Elk feeding on oats that somehow survived. Sophia's gown, magenta and green. Transformation is nature's gift, the womb of winter harboring the seed while the earth prepares for spring. Love burning in heart and hearth, with our souls reverent and willing to lend their voice and imagining to envision what the future will bring. This is no ordinary point on the cosmic wheel, but a resounding from past and future that marks an ending consecrated by fire and the hush before a new cycle begins, charging us to guard the delicate flame and craft an image with brush and pen, inspiring the future through resonant art, the final burning. Remember when we were in heaven in the first chapter of our existence, with warmth, light, and color mixing, sound like water we could swim in, laughter as if we were the laughter, the word begetting light, coagulating in the crucible of our becoming. Upon the blessed hill we stand, with eyes and heart to apprehend, faculties of soul to direct our deeds, with Christmas tide drawing near, remembering the birth and crucifixion. 100 years ago, a temple burned, as many temples have burned before. Another sacrifice for something greater. The temple, like Christ in the human heart, etherized, inspiring the spheres and setting the stage for another round. Ready or not, we have chosen, knowing who we are, that we wield the sword and scepter with courage that we share with many, with love for our destination, the final burning begetting light that has never been known before. Two acorns on a stem. Upon the path where I walk each day, I found two acorns on a stem, and bending down to admire their beauty, clearly heard two voices say, "Take us with you so we can see where you go and what you do, for you have feet and we have none." In my pocket, I placed them safe, then through the meadow to the lake, where I sat for a while listening. Watch leaves dancing on the water, sparkling like diamonds in the sun. Birds singing a merry morning tune, and I could feel them watching too. I placed two acorns on a stem upon a table in my room, with many found treasures for company. And for 3 years, they were my pleasure, watched me sleep, dream, and wake, listened to my prayers, joined my woes, met my friends, and shared my life. Then, one fine day, I heard them say, The time has come for us to go, for we hear a far-off beckoning and feel something in us stirring, something waking we must know. So I placed two acorns on a stem in the meadow where I walk each day. Many years have come and gone, and I walk that path to the meadow, telling about two acorns on a stem, two twin girls who now are seven, and we tarry beneath two oak trees whose branches spread wide and welcome, two girls laughing in my good company. The Tiger and the Lamb. I came upon that marvelous hill from long ago, remembering the passion that brought me there and the longing that placed me on the path. I saw myself young again, innocent, curious, brimming with joy and delight that could not be contained or stifled. You and I in love, teeming with romance. Now we are old and gray, scars and bones shining through, the tiger and lamb both sleeping, and we fear they will not wake. And if they do, will not join us. We play cards, laugh, and reminisce, our eyes meeting with a grin. I sit on that hill with you at my side, your image living in my heart, your touch tracing the contours of memories that I will never forget. The tiger and lamb, ever present, curious, brimming with joy and delight. My beloved, I love you. Remember? Lovers who dream of a perfect world and act as if it is their calling, who commit to live a chaliced love without flaw, pride, or distinction, but who sin, repent, and sin again, confessing the truth and digging deep. Are they deceived or enlightened? You and I were destined to be lovers, and when that magic moment came, surrendered our hearts without hesitation. And when we grew old, withered, gray, desire gone and dreaming too, we sat on the porch with nothing to say. Have we satisfied the call? Will we need to come again for completion, meeting in flesh and bone on the earth, blind to the forces that bring us together, and through some superhuman will, do everything right without compunction? And what might that relationship be? Parent, child, enemy, friend, or none? And this one is about childhood. Thank you for birthing me. For 9 months of gestation, tedious and terrifying labor with joy and tears when done. Then diapers, feeding, protecting, your gentle arms holding me, cooing, rocking, always there. I remember the naps just past noon, the day hot in the town where we lived. Open windows, a breeze, and bugs, with a net suspended over my bed. A fairy world all of my own, daytime dreaming and adventure with milk, toast, and jam upon waking. I was maybe five, a wanderer, much to my mother's consternation. My dog and I would walk to the park over a bridge haunted by an ugly troll. And I was the fearless billy goat Gruff, defying that ugly troll and running over the bridge to the forest beyond. Many bridges have been crossed, but I never faced that ugly troll, while many demons have barred my way. I am always the hero of the story, my sword cutting through to truth, a princess rescued from an ogre, a man with a lamp and a temple. I know what it means to be a father, to love a woman and give birth. My children's children on my lap, listening to tales from imaginary worlds, eyes as big as saucers in suspense. There's always once upon a time, and forever after without end. Romantic activism. Our eagle's eye. Listen, listen well, listen deep if you dare. There are no puppets in this crowd, only eagles with pinions strong, wings of wonder far from your reach, eyes sharp to see through your disguise and penetrate your heartless heart to free the doves you have enchanted. We are in the open, free, and your evil cannot touch us, cannot protect you from our gaze, and we will be as cancer is to living flesh. We'll short your circuits beyond repair, and although devastation will ensue, we have destiny on our side. For eons we lived in denial, pursued the sweetness of desire, suffered the sting of guilt and shame, accepted your gifts, chains in disguise. Mundane tasks and listless days, lost our focus and served your agenda, sacrificed beauty to kill our pain. But annihilation is upon you as well. Yet you have no hope for resurrection, no mirror to identify your faults, no freedom to choose or alter your course, and we will come around again like a phoenix from the ashes rise with love informed, materialized. You may be able to predict the future, program the present to serve your vision, but you cannot still the human spirit that created you as an ultimate foe that we no longer need to slay once our eagle's eye sees the truth. Your only hope is surrender. Without beauty, good cannot be. We are on the edge of rebellion. The opposition accelerating their assault that for centuries has been growing stage by stage more stage by stage more malicious. The methods vicious and inhuman, the shackles more brutal, the corruption permeating life. Do we know which side we're on? What we believe and promote, what we nurture and support, aware that lives have infiltrated the field everywhere, consuming beauty and good to feed evil's insidious intent, to subdue truth and the word. I am not saying that we do not fight or slay the dragon with a sword, or annihilate the adversary with love, or embrace our brother, sister, and kin, but that we stand up for beauty and be willing to die in its defense. Without beauty, good cannot be. I will end with two short poems. I am the sun. I am with you under that old oak tree, as ancient of days we have come to be, as young as children playing in her boughs, as intimate as lovers sipping the wine with that book of verse. Remember? You in your gown of silken lace, and me, I am the sun, wind and seabirds circling round, Mother Earth cradling her child, the dove cooing springtime melodies, flowers, butterflies, and bees, and the one you adore. There is no hurry, you know. Someone said that the tortoise won and the rabbit learned a lesson. Maybe, maybe not. You never know in a dream. Cut from the stem. Forgive me. It was a long, long ago, but I loved flowers, drunk on their beauty, crude, clumsy, and brutal, a beast. I never recovered, and no one knows that I cut that flower from the stem. And I paid my price 10 times over, and still forgiving is wanting. Some deeds cannot be redeemed. Thank you. Without your sacrifice, I would have never known that beast, slain long ago, and still with me. I also was a flower cut from its stem, but that I can forgive.